whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, roll with me here. I know that you sure doing. I appreciate you. And I appreciate all you fine folks. I imagine a lot of people are in their cars, but you don't have to be. But, you know, in this instance, for the what I'm about to say, it's necessary. Appreciate all the folks that roll with us every day listening right here on Sports Radio 610. But going back a couple of segments, we did our question today. What's your niche sport of choice? Nick Caserio is a big golf guy, and various things came in. But I feel like, and I feel like the 346, I don't know what our relationship is personally. You know what I mean? I hope this does not put any level of strain on it, but I feel like I know a little bit more about you as a person. As you said, slap boxing is fun to watch. And I'm like, what? Are we just talking about like when you were in school and you like just slap boxing?
Or that brutal one.
Or yeah, the one where, or like the
what is actual this? Sport.
The slap fight where they just come down and on, you know, with the crazy big slaps.
I got to tell you, I don't like that.
It makes me uneasy.
Yes.
To be completely honest.
Yeah, I was intrigued when it first came out when the video started going viral. I'm like, man, what is this? But it is uncomfortable. We were slap, I grew up slap boxing.
Yeah.
But we was not doing that,
not
man.
That.
No, at that point, we got to fight.
Yeah.
Shout out to the people who mentioned, you know, the idea of boxing, MMA, those types of things. Speed climbing is one of those ones that came up, which I feel like is really fun for all of like 5 to 7 minutes.
That's the right take. Yeah, it's a nice little, oh, that's kind of cool, and then change
the
channel.
Yeah.
What about the competitive eating?
Only on 4th of July.
Yeah, only on 4th.
Because some of the other ones made me uneasy. Although, one of the things that is wild is seeing them like eat chicken wings quickly, because they be just whoop. You know, they get the protein right off the bone. Yep. And then the other thing that I was... Oh, somebody mentioned MLS. And then all MLS is cool. And then also gaming. Competitive gaming.
I've never gotten in. But I understand it.
Surprisingly interesting.
I'm a weird person. I mean, I don't really do the competitive gaming, but I do like, I'm that guy that watch people play games on YouTube.
Ah, okay, I see you.
Like, not sports. I don't really care watch people play Madden, but like actual like Resident Evil and little games like that.
Wow.
Pillow fighting is a televised sport. That's crazy. Spades. Yeah, spades, you don't even need competitive. Just if you, every game of spades is competitive because house rules and arguments and table talk, all that's fantastic.
Yeah, smack talk. Yeah.
That's right. All right, let's go inside, or sorry, around the NFL. That's interesting. Why'd I go
inside?
Kind of inside. Yeah, you're going inside the NFL a little bit, which is brought to you, though, by Quick Assist. Last minute change of plans and you can't use your tickets? Download Quick Assist from your app store today. They'll take care of the process for you and find you the best price on the market. That's Quick. Assyst, Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. I would like to begin in the AFC South, as I often do, with the Colts. I feel like this is an interesting thing that I saw come up, which was Michael Pittman Jr. You're familiar with this gentleman, wide receiver for the Colts, pretty good wide receiver, I might add. I'm fond of his game, not fond of the team that he plays for, but apparently he might need surgery. Why, you might ask? Because he played the entirety of the 2024 season with a fractured back.
That sounds awful. It reminded me of Mike Tyson.
My back is broken.
I broke my back. But that sounds just miserable. I mean, not just playing, but the day after playing. Yeah.
Well, just back pain, period. I know my back ain't broken, but... Yeah. Shoot, I still be having back pain, man. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine with a fracture.
Debilitating. And not only is that, like, you talk about going through your daily life, they're playing the car crash sport.
Yes.
Competitive.
What?
Being competitive out there.
So according to Joel Erickson of the Indianapolis Star, Pittman said, quote, "When I first had it happen, they said it almost certainly was going to get worse and not better. It's all about as long as I can make it happen. And I did finish. I was hoping he would be playing longer than this." So he said that he found this out. He first noticed this during training camp in August.
Oh, man.
And then it was discovered in week 3 versus the Bears, and he's still elected to play through it. Hey, man, you man, either really tough to you, or really man. Stupid or some combination of both.
I would have hit a Tyreek Hill. Hey, I'm out the door.
Some Vontae Davis right here, right quick. Yeah, rest in peace.
The game ain't in me no more, man.
Nah, man, I'm done. No, look, I've said it multiple times. These guys are from another planet, man. I just don't understand. You know, obviously there's a lot on the line, financially and otherwise, but I just don't get it.
I don't either, but this feels like it falls in line with quite a few of the decisions that have been made by the Colts. Like, obviously, they're deciding to keep Shane Steichen and Chris Ballard. It just feels like another one of those. It feels like one of those decisions that makes me question their, I guess, in. I was going to say their decision as a team, but I feel like that was more an individual decision for Pittman. But sometimes those are the types of things that you have to kind of intervene and be like, hey,
yeah,
this might not be the best decision for
make
you
the decision
as a player
for
or as a
them.
Team. Yeah.
Make the decision for them. And just another, you mentioned, you know, the hierarchy of Indianapolis. Like, every team in this division has some level of incompetence. Like, every one of them.
Correct.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, the Texans... It's just wide open for the Texans to just dominate.
Correct.
Yeah.
What a time. And in another way, I guess relating to another Houston team from the 346, he must have a Tempur-Pedic bed to help with his broken back.
Shout out to Mattress Mac.
Yeah. I hope he's doing well.
I was about to say.
I haven't seen an update.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming.
Although I still hear the commercials and stuff like that.
You're going to hear the commercials.
That's right, yeah. I'm assuming no news is good news on that.
Just finish up heart surgery, but you got to get you. Go to Gallery Furniture. And I'm sure those was pre-recorded before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so we continue around the NFL. More coaching carousel things, including yesterday, pretty soon after we got off air, Las Vegas Raiders did something that I think we kind of expected, which was letting go of first-year head coach Antonio Pierce. He had made the jump, I guess, his first year, great, a good way of putting it, because he had made the jump that interim. very few coaches make, which is interim to actually getting the full-time gig. After they had fired, who was it they fired?
Gruden.
Was it Gruden when they fired him and got Antonio Pierce? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then Antonio Pierce, and funny enough, even as they fired him after this season, it seemed like he still had a lot of respect from the locker room and such. But this feels like another step in the direction where it feels like we're leaning into the NFL also being one of those places where you have to make things happen quick, fast, in a hurry, or you are out of here. And this one felt particularly unfair, at least in my estimation, because they gave him who to quarterback? Like, this was the situation was not really built well for him. And I understand that, like, when they talked about this, they talked about the idea of, you know, not necessarily seeing the development, especially defensively. But man, this feels like a real nasty precedent, for lack of a better word, to be setting in the NFL.
But it's not precedent. It's happening everywhere. But I get your point. I don't think you're wrong. I think you're absolutely right on that. And you got to win now. Etc. But I also think there's something else.
When now with what?
Yeah, exactly. But it's, again, you're not wrong. I think you're right. But I think there's also something else at work here, and that's Tom Brady. You know,
yes.
Tom Brady saying we're going to clean house.
Yeah, this is going to be real interesting to see just how much
it's a
of
little,
a hand.
It's a not a big, not a lot, but a little scary if you're in the AFC West because. You know, Brady ain't going to play around. They say he's going to have a say. He's going to have the say.
Why are we assuming? Well, just to see how much. That's one of the things I'm interested to see how much his hand, how much his hand weighs in these conversations. But also, where was I about to go? Why are we assuming Tom Brady is going to be good at this?
I think just because he's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't trust that. Michael Jordan was a GM.
And it's not even that I don't trust. I'm just like, why are we so sure?
No, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure at all.
I'm not sure, but I think because he's Tom Brady and where he comes from and the organization both organizations, to be honest, but really the Patriots, it matters. He knows everyone. Everyone respects him. And I think, this is a little bit scary.
I think it come down to relationships, relationships Tom Brady have with the league.
Mm-hmm.
So a coach that might not have gone to, I was about to say Oakland, but Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady might be the person that could get them to go to Vegas.
Yeah,
there you go. Shout out to A32 keeping me right here. It wasn't for Gruden. Remember, they had Josh McDaniel out there, which, man, talk about somebody who just kept getting jobs.
comes at you fast.
You remember when he left the Colts at the altar? You remember that?
Yeah.
Still ended up getting a job out there.
Went to Denver.
And then they had to get him out of it. Denver was earlier on where he had the audacity. Mm-hmm. And honestly, he still owes me some money. I gotta get together like a class action lawsuit for him foisting upon us the Tim Tebow experience. That's his fault. Why would he do that to us? I thought I was losing my mind the way that people were talking about Tim Tebow being a winner. I was like, he is awful. Look at him play. So, yeah, man. Yeah, thank you for reminding me that Josh McDaniels was indeed the person who messed us up. Someone said Vrabel to Vegas. I think we were talking to our guy Nick over on the Bull. Mm-hmm. The idea of, hey, wasn't that one of those places that that Deion said that he might want to
Yes. Play? Yeah. Yes. Deion is another... But again, I think Brady is going to have the final say, and you know, who knows where his mind is headed.
Is it a little troubling that he's still like on the broadcast team and all that stuff, and he got? I mean, I don't know how much say so will he have in this, but it seems like that's he kind of toting the line a little bit.
I promise you, the rest of the league hates it. They'll never say it, but they hate it. They hate having Tom Brady come into their facilities.
Yeah, and that's why there's the rules that he cannot engage.
Yeah,
in
but
those
just being there, they hate and it. Such. Yeah.
Somebody said maybe Brady will be better than Bagwell. Maybe, or maybe he'll be worse. Yeah. Possibilities still exist. Look,
Michael Jordan was a GM or owner and making decisions. Man, was not good.
Yeah.
I was about to say he's been pretty decent in the NASCAR space, which again comes back to the niche sports. we continue around the NFL with another coaching move that I think leads to maybe a possibly larger conversation. Oh, by the way, going backwards, the Raiders are keeping Tom Telesco, though, the general manager there who just recently they ported over from after he lost his job with these charges that we'll be seeing recently. But yeah, the San Francisco 49ers, who have been a mainstay in the NFC, at the top of the NFC, got rid of Nick Sorensen, defensive coordinator, and this was his first year after they very quickly dispatched of Steve Wilkes last year.
Yeah,
in his first year as their defensive coordinator, obviously they're trying to make up for D'Amico Ryans obviously leaving there, but it feels like for me, I'm looking at them like, is this the end of their window as a team because they've come up on that time where they're not having to pay players, they're having a lot of injuries this year, obviously, or am I being overreactionary with, the down season that the Niners had, or does this feel like the beginning of the end for this particular era of that team?
No, you're not wrong. There are cracks in the foundation, to use that analogy. You got to pay Purdy. You've got cap problems coming down the pike, if not here already. You got personnel issues. Some of your best players, are sort of fading a little bit. There are cracks in the foundation in San Francisco. No question about it.
Yeah. So I found that to be really, I was like, okay, this is an interesting space. Like, I mean, I don't know how much that matters for the Texans because ultimately you're trying to focus on the AFC side. And there's a lot of teams that are bolstering their strength as new real contenders or as just continued contenders in the AFC. I mean, you think the Ravens are going anywhere soon? The Bills?
Right.
The Chiefs, like they're those teams that are at the top, look to have a pretty solid foothold.
Well, they're not, are they? Had to remind me of that.
Sorry, my bad. You know what? We'll move along quickly to this. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network had this interesting thing. I know that somebody talked Vrabel to Vegas. It feels like if there's a place that Vrabel has been pretty much penciled into, if not put in pen, in a lot of people's imaginations for a head coaching job, it is where.
That would be New England.
Right? They got out of the paint. The dude who they had agreed to be the heir apparent to Bill Belichick for years in one single year. And it seems like, you do that because all of a sudden Vrabel is available. Pelissero seems to put that up there as like, hey, that may be factored in, but Vrabel is supposedly not a shoo-in for this pass job. He even said that Ben Johnson intends to and is interested in interviewing for this patch job as in addition to the Bears job. But are you interested by this new kind of development of reporting? I understand, like, reporting can be right, we have to consider who's the source and all these things,
right?
But the idea that, hey, they're not necessarily just jumping at Vrabel, the possibility that they might try and go get someone else.
I have a very in-depth one word answer to that report. Sure.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, you know what word I thought you were going to say? And I do wonder, have you used this word in the last, I don't know, 2-3 years? Hokum?
Hokum.
I thought, you look like a dude who would use the word hokum.
I've used in the past. I haven't used it in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure, Tom Pelissero. How many agents have called you on this? Trying to get their guy more interviews and more buzz and get them more money Because a lot of the, just think about it. Even from a Vrabel perspective, especially from a Vrabel perspective, oh, he's a shoe-in in New England. And then his agent calls Pelissero and says, hey, man, he's gonna interview here. He's going to interview there. Same thing with Ben Johnson. It always comes back to what? It always comes back to money. Vrabel is going to be the Patriots head coach. Mm-hmm. So my answer is sure.
On the text line for the 281, Niners have over $50 million cap space, and they're probably
going to rehire Saleh. It's coming.
I mean, Saleh's defensive coordinator is not a bad look by any stretch. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, he did a fantastic job when he was there. I'm still interested in seeing if he ends up as mm-hmm. a head coach somewhere. Like, he clearly, it feels like he's one of the dudes.
He's one of the Jacksonville guys, isn't he?
He is. He's one of the, what is the list of almost
nine?
Almost 10?
Yeah.
And he should be given a good look because, again, it feels like he did a good job with that team outside of, you know, the quarterbacks that were given to him. And it seemed like he went along with the Aaron Rodgers thing, but that, I think we all felt like that was, well, I'm not going to lie, I thought that there was a chance that that would go well. Mm-hmm. Now, in hindsight, I feel very dumb, but yeah, that's a possibility. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL for this Wednesday. Coming up next, you're facing off against the Los Angeles Chargers, and one of the things with any matchup, particularly when you get to the playoffs, is like, what is the coaching matchup? And we could get into that, but I kind of just want to take a second to have a comprehensive recollection of Jim Harbaugh just being a huge, consummate weirdo. So yeah, let's do that next.